This season of The Next Step is made possible by a grant from Gatto and Laura Artinian of Sydney, Australia, in memory of George Samarjan, and by listeners like you. Donate at epostle.net. Episode number 328.
This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. It is my pleasure to present to you a new episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. If you're joining us for the first time, we're so glad you're tuning in. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. The Next Step is the voice of Armodoxy, a weekly podcast that looks at life through the lens of Armenian Orthodoxy. Our seventh season is well underway, inspired by our spiritual pilgrimage to both sides of Mount Ararat. Father Vazquez's messages are timely, thought-provoking, and based on Christ's principles of love, faith, and hope. At epostle.net, we reach out to those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. We produce these shows free of charge and make them available for download at epostle.net, as well as via multiple podcatchers, including Apple iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, and our very own epostle app. You can also subscribe to receive email notifications every time a new episode is released. However you choose to tune in, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast, well, that puts it all together, that connects the dots between the spiritual and the physical, between the ancient and the contemporary, via one of the most ancient of all Christian forms and traditions, Armenian Orthodoxy. Polished up for today, of course, and that Armodox look is the one we're asking you to, well, take the next step in. Confusing a little bit of metaphors, but it's okay. We do a lot of that too. This podcast is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes Ministry. Hey, if you're ready, I know I am. Let's take the next step. Good to have you with us today. I am broadcasting from Epostle West out in Glendale. We have had some incredibly hot days. Hot, sticky, humid. Ugh! They've been horrible, but today's a little bit better, and I'm in front of the Epostle microphone sharing some time with you and sharing some, well, some thoughts with you. Had a very busy week, starting off with the we started off the week by attending a beautiful event at the Hollywood Bowl. Beautiful in the sense that it made me laugh. Oh, I had such a wonderful time. I want to thank my dear friend Jim for inviting us out there. It was so great to see The Simpsons on stage. It started off with the LA Philharmonic being conducted by Homer himself. Well, the conductor had this huge Homer head on him. And they played the Star Spangled Banner. We stood up. It was great. And then he says, and now I'm going to introduce the creator of The Simpsons. And this was on a large jumbo screen. They had the actual Homer character saying this. The creator, a man whose last name people cannot pronounce. And so it's my pleasure to introduce to you to Matt. That was it. It was so funny. So well done. The evening just continued with laughs. A rendition of Apu's song, Who Needs the Quickie Mart? I do. Oh, it was so good. Just laugh after laugh. And I think I needed that, especially in a day and age like today, where we are being bombarded with such negative news. It's sometimes good to laugh. I got to ask you about that. What do you feel about that? Is it okay to laugh? I mean, it's sometimes you feel guilty, don't you, when you see all the pain and suffering in the world. And somehow this becomes an escape route. To be able to laugh. And I have to tell you, The Simpsons have, there's a lot of, I enjoy them on a lot of levels, primarily because before I was involved with The Simpsons, or actually enjoying The Simpsons, many years before, my father I found out that he was a big fan of The Simpsons back in 1989 when they just started. And I could tell you why he probably related. But it was many years later that I really got into them and just enjoy a good laugh. I think it's so well and so clever. I think more than the laughs, what I enjoy about The Simpsons is the creativity, intelligent creativity. It's humor done right. You know, it's like putting the dots together. It's not just being out there and saying, hey, this is funny, let's get a laugh and let's follow the soundtracks. You actually become the soundtrack of being the laugh track to their humor. It is so well done. And we had just a wonderful night and had a chance to laugh, to share some jokes. And then it was back to reality Sunday morning. Had to do the Divine Liturgy. It was one of those had-to-do moments because it was terribly hot. But what we spoke about, it was the Sunday of the Exaltation of the Cross. And I want to tie this in, you know, with that creative energy, being able to take an event from the past and being able to give it new meaning for today. And I want to talk about shame. I want to talk about some of the emotions that we have as far as what's called the amort factor, the shame factor. And I'm going to get to that in a few minutes. Let me also tell you that I had a chance to be out at the Armenian Engineers and Scientists of America meeting last Tuesday evening, and that was another great eye-opener for me. They talked about starting some businesses in Armenia and some of the pros and cons. It was done so well and very candidly. I really appreciated it, but it gave me the energy to really look forward to this trip that's coming up. So if we get a little chance, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I did want to talk, I wanted to start off about the idea of shame. And much like The Simpsons, they talk about some of the things that we don't ordinarily talk about. Why do you laugh? Why do you laugh at any joke? It's something unexpected that comes out at you, right? So something comes out at you and it hits you, and that's why you laugh. You're not expecting that response. And it catches you off guard. There's a little bit of shame in there, too. And it occurred to me that on Sunday we were celebrating the Feast of the Exaltation or the Elevation of the Holy Cross. And I challenged myself to really think beyond the norms. Now this story, the story of the Exaltation of the Cross, comes to us from Christendom from the early centuries. There's been three times when the cross of Jesus has been elevated according to history. One was done by St. James in the first century, known as the brother of Christ, the brother of Jesus. And this was done in Jerusalem, where he actually couldn't lift up the cross because of the persecution against Christians. The other was in the 3rd or 4th century, and the third one, which we celebrated, Exaltation of the Cross, was after the cross of Christ was taken from captivity. And there's all kinds of traditions, like how did you find out it was the real cross of Jesus? Well, apparently there was a young girl who had found her demise. I can't remember if it was a girl or boy. If for some reason my memory tells me it was a girl, but it was a young child, let's say it that way, and who had died, and they put him or her on this cross, touched the cross to her, and life came back to that individual, to that child. This is one of the traditions that there are out there. Another tradition tells us that the cross of Christ was found in a garbage heap, and around it was growing sweet basil. And so in the tradition of the Armenian Church, we take the sweet basil and we decorate the Holy Cross and we elevate it. And the tradition points to this need to elevate the cross of Christ. Let's talk a little bit about that. Do you need to elevate it? What do we find in that elevation? Well, I pushed myself a little bit and I said, well, what are the things that we elevate? Well, we elevate definitely humor. We elevate rock stars. We elevate sports heroes. We elevate decorated heroes, right? War heroes. Where are the people that? Who are the people that should be elevated? And then I pushed myself a little farther, and I said, well, what are the things that we don't elevate? Well, it's the things that are usually shameful. And of course, I had just finished the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer, and we were talking about cancer. And it was very interesting for me because during that walk with the Avon folks, there was like 2,000 of us walking that 40-mile distance. It occurred to me that there wasn't sobbing, there wasn't crying, there wasn't this pathetic me, woe is me, look at me, I'm so terrible, I have cancer. In fact, it was just the opposite. It was an opportunity for people to say, look, I'm victorious over cancer. And so all of a sudden, cancer was elevated. It wasn't shameful to talk about it. Got me there? Okay, I'm going to break right now. We're going to do the song of the day, and I'm going to come back and talk about that shame factor. Talk about all kinds of stuff, too. I'm picking out a song of the day. This is, it's a pretty one, and I just found it this morning, actually. It's a group called Husher, and it is off of their Provenance album, and I hope you enjoy it.
Garga chumer sareru
was Husher off of the Provenance album. I will make sure that there is a link on today's show notes so you can check out not only this song, but all of their great music. Sunday morning. It is the feast of the elevation, exaltation of the Holy Cross. After a night of Simpsons, I am there at church, ready to begin the divine liturgy. And of course, thinking about the words that I'm going to be speaking in the sermon. And I've shared this with you, my Next Step listeners, that before I give a sermon or any talk, it is a very simple psalm that I recite three times. It is, Lord, if you open my mouth, I will sing your praise. And it is a very simple mantra that I recite three times. It emphasizes in my head that it's not about me, but getting the message across. Deliver the kingdom. This is the calling that we have as priests. Bring the kingdom to the people. And let it be your words, my Lord, and the words of my heart, what you've planted in my heart. You know, you don't want to get to the point where say, okay, it's not my words. Obviously, it's my words. You're putting it all together. God's giving you this intelligence. But at the end of the day, you want to deliver a message that speaks to the people, not about some ancient history. Because if you're going to listen to the story of the exaltation of the cross, the history lesson, you know, there's all kinds of books. There's all kinds of lectures. There's historians who can deliver that story much better than I can, you know, with the details. And that's not why people have come to church. That's not why people are there. It's because these people in church have gone through so much difficulty during their week that they want to get to a place where they can connect with the divine, hear a message that is talking to their needs, their particular needs. And so I said this prayer, Lord, open my mouth and I will sing your praise. And saying that thrice, I turned around to the people and really came up with some ideas that I wasn't expecting were going to come out in such a manner. And I'll see if we can get a link to the sermon notes or the sermon page and put it on our show notes today so you could check it out. And this is what came out. It kind of surprised me. We elevate the Holy Cross. We have this feast, the elevation of the Holy Cross, exaltation of the Holy Cross. Well, what's the history behind it? The people got up and they put up the cross of Christ. Why? Because this instrument of torture, obviously our Lord had been crucified on this cross. It is an instrument of torture. Negative, negative, negative. Has now become this positive image of victory. Yeah. That cross, that instrument of torture, is now an image of victory. It's an icon of victory. So that when you look at a cross, you see the victory of Christ. That against all the evil in the world, that there is a victory there. And they've lifted it up. And it occurred to me that, you know, we just walked with cancer victims, cancer patients. And usually as a priest, especially, I think this is more so in the Armenian tradition, and I'm talking cultural tradition in this moment, people want to hide the negativity. You know, it's not proper to talk about some of the negative things in your life. Definitely cancer. And I could tell you countless stories where people have told me, yeah, well, we don't want to tell him that he has cancer. What? What? The man has cancer, but don't tell him. Ask the doctor not to tell him. I mean, how rude is that? I could understand that there's the denial and there's the pain and the suffering, but at some point you need to accept what the reality is. It's much like after death, after that period of mourning. You have to go through it. You know, sometimes you go into these funeral homes and somebody's died and they paint it up so nicely that you don't know whether you're at a birthday party or at a funeral. You know, like, hey, let's celebrate the life. Yeah, okay, celebrate the life. But at some point, allow somebody to shed a tear to say that that life had meaning. And in the same way, when these difficulties come, such as cancer, allow people to go through their mourning process, their grieving process, and find the courage and the strength to rise to the occasion. And the example comes to us right from Scripture. Like, take a look at the story of Jesus going to the cross. This is recorded at least in three of the Gospels of a man named Simon. I'm not sure if the non-synoptic Gospel writes about this. But in three of the Gospels, we hear of a guy named Simon. And as Jesus is going up to the cross, they find this guy Simon out there. This poor guy, he's just walking around, right? And they say, hey, come over here. They grab him, and they make him carry the cross of Christ. Because obviously, Jesus had been beaten. He had been tortured. Physically, the strength might not have been there. And so in some last-ditch effort of showing compassion, they grab this guy, Simon, and they say, hey, carry the cross of Christ. And so Simon takes the cross all the way up to Golgotha, to where they are going to be crucifying Jesus. And he carries it for Christ. And this is the part that that came to me as I was preaching the sermon. I mean, who's more blessed? On who did the blessing come? On Christ? Was he blessed to have somebody carry his cross? Or did the blessing come on Simon? And I want you to really think about that for a moment, okay? The blessing is on Simon. Yeah, he did the dirty work. The blessing was on him. At the end, Jesus was the one who had to rise to the cross. He didn't avoid the cross. He went up to the cross. It was his cross. He needed to climb up to the cross. He needed to be crucified. And now let's tie that in with our lives. Each of us, I think, looks for a Simon in our lives. Sometimes the pain is unbearable. Sometimes the trouble and the suffering that we are going through, the persecution that we are going through, the relationships that have gone sour, or the diseases that we contract are so painful. We say, can we have a Simon? Can we have somebody carry that cross for us? Can somebody help me along the way? I don't want to go through this suffering. It's painful. It hurts. I've shed enough tears. It really, really hurts. I need somebody to hold that cross for me. And we look for Simons in our life. And we may find Simon. We may find the Simon that is there to help us. That is help, that they will help us along the way. Carrying the cross, carrying some of the burden. But remember, Jesus was still walking towards Golgotha along with Simon. So he still knew where he had to end up. And that's the case for us too. We may be looking for help in our lives, but eventually the cross is ours. We need to approach that cross and have the strength, the courage to look that cross and climb it without being scared. Yeah, it's difficult. It's very difficult. It's kind of childish to wish it on somebody else, or it's childish to blame somebody else for the problems that you have. We do that all the time, don't we, as children? I didn't do it. My brother made me do it. Or one of my favorites is, the devil made him do it, or made me do it. I didn't mean the devil made you do it. Did you do it or not? That's the question. You did it, right? Okay, it's not the end of the world. Life goes on. This is the beautiful power of forgiveness. You have that forgiveness in your life. You have the ability to be forgiven, okay? Which means that you can start a brand new page. But you did it, right? You can't blame somebody else on it. Same thing with the cross. It's your cross. At some point, you need to be able to look at it and say, okay, you're not as big as I thought you were. I'm gonna climb it. I'm going to get on that cross. Whatever that cross may be, disease, relationships, financial, whatever that cross may be. You're looking for Simon, and you may find the Simon who helps you up that cross, who helps you on the road to that cross. But eventually you have to cross it. You have to take on your own challenges. That's one. But the other part of it is what I said. Who had the blessing, Simon or Christ? Yeah, at first you look at it and you say, okay, yeah. Simon did help Christ. It was a blessing to Christ, right? Yeah, it was. He didn't have to carry it for a while. In the same way, you may find somebody who walks with you on your road towards the cross. But at the end, the cross is yours. And so who has the blessing? Well, think about the person who helps you. Think about Simon. Forever he will be remembered as the man who carried the cross of Christ. Imagine if somebody came up to you and said, carry Jesus' cross. What would your answer be? I think a lot of people will say, oh yeah, you know, of course, if Jesus asks me. But think about it in these terms. Let's bring it down to a very common expression. What about all the crosses that are out there and people asking us all the time to help them? Whether it is because of their disease and they just find it very difficult to meet the challenges, because of their finances. And what does Jesus say? When you do it to the least of my brothers, you have done it to me. Whoa. Looking for Christ in the face of others, in the face of other people who have need. And now all of a sudden, you understand where the blessing is. Simon had the ability. He had the strength to carry the cross. He had the blessing. You have the ability to help people. You have the blessing. You are blessed. We are all blessed because we have the opportunity to help people. It is Jesus who is asking us to carry his cross. It is Jesus, the man who is asking you for a handout. It is Jesus, the person who's sitting there in the emergency room, facing a diagnosis that he or she would never expect in his life. It is Jesus who's gone through this terrible divorce and her life is ripped apart and understands that she's just sitting there without a friend in the world because everyone is backed off. It is Jesus who's saying, don't abandon me in my time of need. It is just the same Jesus who's inside that young man who's facing all kinds of difficulties. School, the hassle of parents, and not understanding who he is inside of his body, inside of the relationships that he has. It's that 21-year-old who's being allured by drugs and saying, you know what? It does feel good. These drugs do make sense in my life. And it is that Jesus that is asking us to take another look and see the pain in his life, to see the suffering in his life, and realize that there is a reason why he has gone down this path. Can we be with them at that point without a judgment, without saying, oh, what a horrible guy that is. Let him rot in jail. We do that, don't we, huh? If it was Jesus, we'd have no problem helping out. But it is Jesus who's going through a divorce. It is Jesus who has seen death. It is Jesus who is taking drugs. It is Jesus who is flat broke, doesn't know where his next house payment's going to come from, how he's going to support the kids, who's looking out and asking, is there a Simon out there? Is there a Simon who can just help me along the way? And if you can do it, the blessing is on you. Just ipso facto. Yeah, I know that's Latin, isn't it, for something? By reason of the facts, you can do it. And you are blessed. Now, if we can start thinking in those dimensions, what happens? All of a sudden, a new vocabulary opens to us. I've shared this with you many times, this idea of in his shoes, right? Walking in the shoes of others. That's the basis of our ministry. Feeling the pain of others. And the new vocabulary word that we will learn today, I've shared it with you many times, but let's learn it. It's a beautiful expression in the Armenian language, tzavatanim. Yeah, it's with a TZ, tz. Tzavut. Tzavut danim. Let me take your pain. Let me receive your pain. Let me understand your pain. That's what Simon did. Simon took the pain of Christ. He said, let me understand it. And that's the calling that each and every one of us have. In fact, Saint Simon, I don't know if that particular one is a saint. I mean, he must be, right? He's a biblical character who did something good, right? But that should be the patron saint of In His Shoes. Because that was his calling, to walk in the shoes of Christ, to carry the cross of Christ. A lot of times people ask me, why are we so involved with all these problems in the world? We see what's going on in Darfur. The last 10 years, we've been amazed that this word genocide is still being thrown around. We talk about what's going on in Syria, what's going on in the rest of the Middle East, and people say, well, what's it to you? Do you know that in your life you have problems? Yes, we all have problems. We're all looking for Simon. Do I have the ability to help somebody else out? That's the question that was given to Simon. Do you have the ability to carry the cross of Christ? You do. You have shoulders that are broad. You have the muscles. You have your legs that are working. Pick up the cross and help him out. Do you have the ability to help someone else in his shoes? Can you walk in the shoes of someone else? I don't know. I don't know if I have the ability. I don't know if you have the ability. But you never find out until you do the tzavut danim. Let me feel your pain. Let me just feel it first. Let me put my feet in your shoes. And now what happens all of a sudden? We are elevating the problem. We are elevating the cross. We are talking about the cross. You see, you can't conquer the cross until you first start recognizing that it's in front of you. And the only way you can recognize it is to walk in the shoes, to understand what that person's pain is. So all this stuff about, oh, the man has cancer, let's not talk about it. Oh, she's going through a divorce, let's not talk about it. It's shameful. Oh, they don't know how to make their payments. They're going to lose their house. Let's not talk about it. It's our little secret. There shouldn't be secrets. The ultimate suffering in the world, Christ suffering, the Son of God suffering on a cross, was elevated. It was placed up on a mountaintop. It was placed up throughout the centuries. It is lifted up. And we wear this icon of victory around our necks. We adorn our cars with these little crosses. We put them all over the place. What is it? Just a show? What are we trying to show? There's a beautiful cross. You ever been to a jewelry store? You see the crosses made out of diamonds, made out of white gold. They look great. You got to see some of these priests, the beautiful crosses. Hey, I won't pick on anybody else. You got to see some of my crosses. Ooh, they are so beautiful. So pretty. And I love cross jewelry. But at the end of the day, what are we wearing it for if it has no meaning? It needs to point to the cross of Christ. And in that cross of Christ, we need to see the suffering of the world. We need to see the wars out there in Syria, in Iraq. We need to see the children that are being killed in our own backyard. We need to see the journalists who are being beheaded and understand that that is a cross. And can we become a viable answer in the equation? And not everyone is a Simon. I know there's people that will look at the cross and walk away. We remember Simon in the Bible who picked up Jesus' cross. It'd be interesting to find out if there were some others. If there were some other people who were approached. Obviously, they're not remembered, are they? No, you don't record failures. That's one of the perks of being the victor, right? They'll tell you, victory writes history. The victors write history. Simon is remembered. Maybe there were 3 or 4, 10, 20 other guys that were approached and asked, hey, carry the cross of Christ. And they didn't. And that's what happens to us too, doesn't it? We're approached carry the cross of Christ. And we give answers. Sometimes we give excuses. Sometimes they're legitimate excuses. I don't want to pick on people. But ultimately, we can be very useful in the equation of the cross in so many people's lives. It's up to us to really push ourselves, to really say that I want to walk in the shoes of others. I want to be the Simon. And realize that the blessing is on you because you have that ability, because of God's love for you, and because you have the ability to love, to share in that divine love of walking in the shoes of others. Take a look around you. You'll see Christ, you'll see Jesus asking, can you be the Simon in my life? We ask for Simons. I've asked for Simons. You've asked for Simons in your life when the pain has become so unbearable. Why don't you think that there's other people who are going through unbearable pain and looking for a Simon? And that's your calling. That's your calling to rise to the occasion and to become that Simon. When we talk about elevation of the cross, that's what it's about. Elevating our needs, elevating those pains and those sufferings beyond the shame, beyond the amort factor, and saying that there's nothing shameful about the hurt. What's shameful is when I cannot react to that hurt. I know, that's like a guilt trip on you. No, it's not. It's just a wake-up call. That we're in this thing called earth. We're in this thing called life. And we're in it together. And our only means of survival is not at the hands of the politicians, but it's at the hands of faith. It's at the hands of Christ. It's at the hands of God. For us to tap in to that God energy and realize that we are created in His image for a reason, to reach out with that love. Susie do her announcement, and I'll be back if you haven't gotten tired of the ranting and raving over here. Is that what it is?
Susie here again. Before continuing with this broadcast, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners, for your prayers, kind expressions, and donations. You make this podcast possible. Your listenership and support has allowed us to grow and expand our ministry around the globe. The Next Step has given us the opportunity to touch many lives and create lasting friendships. For this, we are immensely grateful. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. We would love to be able to continue this ministry for as long as there is a need. To do so, we must be able to cover our expenses. Things like hosting, server space, software, and equipment are an essential component and ongoing need for getting this message out. So, we look forward to your continued support. Thank you, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Important reminder, as always, that this production takes cost. There's needs over here. So if you find it in your heart to make a donation, do follow what Susie says. Always keep us in your prayers. Those prayers go a long way. They remind us of what those needs are. They remind us of the Simon that we need to be. And yeah, we do need the Simons. Listen, you know, while we're on the talk of business and... You know, I've shared this with you in the past. I used to shy away from that word business. But business, all it means is that we're able to categorize it and facilitate it in a certain way. And certainly those business models are necessary. I had an opportunity to attend a meeting a couple days ago with the Armenian Engineers and Scientists of America Association, a fascinating group. I had done a preliminary writing for them back in 1996, I believe, when they were just starting out. They asked me to write a piece about the first Armenian bulletin board system. Now, this bulletin board is not It is before the internet. It was, it's not a bulletin board with the tags and things like that, but it was a way of communication via the internet. And I developed the first Armenian bulletin board system. It was called SANE. And those of you who write to me intimately know that my email address is still dervaz@sane.org. It's kind of a cool address and a domain that I have not yet given up. I wanted to keep it just for the sake of nostalgia, just for the sake of memories, a romantic idea how we started. It was on a small little Apple II computer that we had put this all up, and we were running all kinds of software, sharewares, user groups. And so I had written a piece, and I believe it's somewhere on the internet. Maybe if I could dig it up, I'll put it on our show notes today. But I'd written a piece for this group back then, 1996, which they published. And I was very very honored to be published in the Armenian Engineers and Scientists Association of America in their little booklet. I believe it was a small little magazine at the time. Anyway, 15 years later, or maybe even longer, right? What is that? 18 years later, here I am in Pasadena attending their event. And I went to it because they were going to talk about starting businesses in Armenia. And as you know, I really have it in my heart. God has spoken to me that I need to do this as the next step in my life to be able to put together something that is, that I could stay and remain faithful to my calling as a priest in bringing the kingdom around, and also understanding that there is a treasure in Armenia. There is a treasure of spirituality that is basically unknown to the world. If you got Smithsonian Magazine this past month, there was a cover story about Stonehenge. And just think about, in Armenia, there's a place called Karahunj, which predates Stonehenge. And Stonehenge, with all of its charm and allure, pales next to what we have in Armenia. And this is just only the surface. We're scratching the surface of what's out there. I want to be able to go out there and find these treasures and bring it to the world, bring it to a world that is waiting and in need of peace, in need of spiritual peace, spirituality. So, you know, we are always in need of funds, and we're looking for people that can offset some of these costs, if not, maybe even take on the costs for these things. But I'm heading out there and want to put together a team of. So I was interested in going to this meeting and finding out what those opportunities are. And what impressed me about it was a candid discussion. Yeah, there are pros and there are cons. One of the big cons that I heard, and by the way, it's not the government that they were ragging on. I know that everybody, but one man made a point. He said, which government do you like? You know, I mean, obviously governments have their rules and regulations, but one of them that really touched me was that there's always holidays in Armenia where you can't work, and one of them is Merelots, the remembrance of the dead, which follows each of the five major feast days. And I guess in Armenia, those are sacred days. People don't work. And so it was just kind of funny. It was a nice little interesting sideline. But it was a wonderful meeting, and I just appreciated being in that mix of people and look forward to doing some work, some business along those lines. If you want to find out more about it, do get in touch with me or follow me on Facebook, where I post now and then some different things. Last few days, I've been like, I've been away from Facebook. It gets to you after a while, doesn't it? Anyway, I will be back up there. And with that, I think we can call it a day. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for us. Get in touch with us throughout the week. You can always drop us email at feedback@apostle.net. And Susie will make sure that it gets channeled to the right places. Check us out on the web at inyeshoesapostle.net, and of course on Facebook. Yeah, check out all the people that are there. Listen for the wonderful team who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, via our webman, and for Ken, our engineer. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your breath, cut out.